With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, is Andy Cairns home?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And he's going to be home for a while.
Just wait a second, mate. I'm going to get a chair. I'll be 30 seconds.
All right, mate. Make yourself comfy. No worries.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, all things considered, could be worse. I've had to cancel a load of DJ gigs, so money will be a little bit tight for the next few weeks and perhaps months. But where there is a will, there is a way. And you know, so far I've still got my health, and you know, I guess it gives a lot of people like us a time to be creative and also stop and, you know, take stock, I guess. And
yeah.
Be grateful for the things that we have. So you're out in Cambridge, are you? That's where you live, isn't it?
Yeah, we kind of live about a mile outside the city centre in a village, so it's really isolated anyway.
Right.
Self-isolation wasn't a big ask.
Yeah. Well, for me as well, I work from home every day, so that element isn't, you know, too much of a throw. It's the getting out and about and socialising that I'm missing. Who are you at home with? Have you got kids at home or have they flown the nest?
My son's back from uni. He was up at Leeds Uni and
right.
He was sent home last Tuesday because the uni finished for the term. And my wife usually works in Cambridge and she's actually working from home in the office at the back.
And what's happening with your son and university then? Is just the year been deferred to next? How does that work?
He was worried. He's not sure yet. He was meant to have come home from Easter and then finished last term. It's his first year there.
Yeah.
And he's doing film.
Nice.
And they've said to him that they'll send him. I mean, he's doing his lectures online.
Yeah.
You know, so they're doing streaming them live online. So he's they're just trying to figure out a way they can mark his first year since it's uncompleted.
What a shame for it to happen in his first year as well. Like, you know, you leave home, it's this big rites of passage moment. You're, you know, getting excited for this whole new chapter in your life. You're just settling in after the first term there, and then you're plucked out and sent back home. He must be gutted.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he's got two really good cameras because he's, as I say, he's doing a film. And he basically, they told him they were closing, you know, so he got on a train and come home. And then, of course, they announced the lockdown. And then yesterday, there was police doing roadblocks around Yorkshire. So his cameras are up in his halls of residence locked in there.
Oh, no. So he can't even... Well, I guess he can create with his iPhone, but it's not quite the same, is it?
Yeah, he's doing, but that's it. Yeah, I think he'd be a lot more comfortable if he had the tools of his trade with him.
Oh, mate. And what about you? Have you had to cancel your upcoming 30th anniversary shows or postpone? Or what's going on with the live stuff?
We've cancelled 15 gigs so far.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, and then that was for... They've all... excuse me. Bar one in Istanbul. The other 14 have been rescheduled for September, October and November, which is when we're also... We're doing 6 weeks of touring then. And anyway, so it looks like I'm going to leave home at the last week in August and not come back until Christmas Eve. But, yeah, so I'm lucky. I've got a little area at the back with amps and guitars, and the record company's asked me to go out today and record four acoustic songs in the garage and then send them to them, and they're going to send them out to people. They're trying to come up with ideas, a bit like, you know, like yourself, of things to do, live streams, podcasts. So I'm keeping myself busy. writing new songs as well.
That's the key. I think staying busy and productive is the key to staying sane. It's certainly been helping me doing these every day. Mate, you've chosen some great tracks. A lot of artists I was unfamiliar with before as well. So we're going to go through five as we, you know, chat and catch up and stuff. So we'll break for the first song now. Rainbow Grave, Dead End. Tell us about this band and this track and why you picked it.
Well, Rainbow Grave, it's on an album called Know You, and it came out late last year, and it's on God Unknown Records, which is a great record label in the UK. Puts out a lot of really, really good music, Twin Sister and things like that. And it's got Nick Bullen, who used to be in Napalm Death really early on. It's got Johnny Doom, who used to be in Doom and is better known as a DJ as well.
My great friends, Johnny Doom. Yeah, I love Johnny.
Yeah. And the record, just for that pedigree alone, my interest was piqued. And then I saw a review online which said it was like a throbbing headache, glue music, really
sludgy. Sold it to
and
you.
I listened to it and I loved the lyrics. I loved the aesthetic of it, you know, the sort of little country village with a mushroom cloud in the background. It reminds me of the days when I used to listen to Crass and to Discharge and bands like that. But also the music itself is brilliant. It's got this really bizarre, twisted sort of sense of humour in it, and it is really, I mean, initially it sounds really depressing, really full on, but there's something quite life-affirming about it.
Well, it's very Johnny, you know, his sense of humour is very bleak and very dry and very surreal and, you know, quite grotesque and vivid, and he's going to be stoked that you've picked this. I can't wait to tell him.
Oh, good man.
Dead End, here we go.
Thank you.
know, growing up in Northern Ireland, not to make too much of a stretchful connection, but I've found that with a few of the people that I've talked to, if you've kind of grown up in an unsettling environment, things like this, like we're experiencing at the moment, aren't perhaps as disconcerting because, you know, you've been through weird times and you've had to adjust and adapt. And I mean, have you kind of found that, you know, this situation right now isn't perhaps throwing you as much as it could be some people because, you know, you've grown up with these, you know, lockdown concepts and things like this in your life before?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, a couple of things, you know, I will mention, you know, whenever we grew up as kids, there was a ring around the city centre in Belfast, which was the only place you would go to gigs. And, you know, we found ways around it. There was a couple of abandoned buildings, clubs inside the ring, and they couldn't sell beer, but you could bring a carry out. And you had to be searched on the way into the ring by the British Army. And, you know, there were great nights, those. But also, up until, you know, probably the age of 14, I think 12 was the first time I left Northern Ireland. What a lot of people don't realise about people that are from Northern Ireland, if you haven't left Northern Ireland until you're 12, at that age you think everywhere in the world's like that. You know, that's all you've known growing up. So you kind of think, well, this is what the world's like, and you get used to it, and it doesn't seem a big deal. And then I remember we went to visit my uncle who lived in Leicester for the first time, and I walked into Boots Chemist with my mum. And back home, at the height of the troubles, every single shop was like an airport situation. You had to go under a metal detector and be searched. Going into Boots Chemist, going into WH Smith. And I remember going into Boots and Leicester with my mum, and I automatically held my hands up in the air. And my mum said, no, they don't do that over here. Yeah, but I was so used to doing it. And then another thing that was really funny, you know, is I didn't even realise at the time, it was about the same year, myself and my younger brother were taken by my mum to a holiday in France, and they put a trailer with a tent on the back of the car, and we drove to France and we set up a tent, and we went to somewhere with a beach, and me and my brother were bored silly, you know, we were just like, oh God, you know, it's a tent, it's cold, there's insects, I hate this. And we took turns to sort of play music, and myself and my brother were on the beach one day and had a Ramones t-shirt on, and these two kids about the same age as us, probably, you know, 12 and 14, these English kids, and they come over and they said, all right, cool Ramones t-shirt, do you like punk? And I was kind of going, yeah, I like Ramones. And the younger lad was sort of playing with my brother, and we were playing football on the beach. And then the mum and dad came over and said, all right, boys, where are you from? We said, all right, we're from Northern Ireland, and their faces dropped. And they said, come on, boys, we've got to go back home now. And they took those children home. We were going, all right, see you later. We didn't see them later, and the next day I was walking on the beach, and one of the young lads, the younger of the two, walked by me and looked me in the face and just went, murderer.
Wow.
And walked on, and I thought, okay, right, maybe it is a little bit different where we come from.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
When did you leave Northern Ireland properly? When did you move out?
Well, I was always in Northern Ireland until I was about 27.
Right,
and then
okay.
I moved to Dublin. You know, with the band and all was up and going and stuff. You know, we'd signed a major label. I was still in Belfast. And then I think, just after Trouble Gun came out in 1994. So it was a bit, I was actually 28. I moved to Dublin for a while. And I didn't move over to England until about 2002.
I was meant to be in Dublin and Belfast this weekend. I was meant to be on a flight to Dublin right now.
Oh, no, where were you meant to be? Whereabouts, do you know?
I was playing the Workman's Club in Dublin.
Oh, brilliant venue.
And then I was going to be doing the Voodoo venue in Belfast.
Oh, you would have had a good time there, I can tell you that. Yeah.
I know, I've played both before, and I was so looking forward to going. I love both those cities. I love playing both those cities. And yeah, I booked up my first ever like solo mini tour as just a DJ. Usually I go out with bands, but this was just going to be me doing club nights. And we had, you know, dates booked all over the UK and Ireland, and yeah, had to pull them all. Let's break for your second song, and then we'll come back and we'll chat about staying sane and self-isolation and, you know, what you've been up to, what you've been doing. I've never heard of this band or project before. It's called Racteur, right?
That's right, yeah.
And Fim de Mondo is the song. Again, tell us about this one, why it's made the cut.
Well, Racteur are a band that I saw live last year in the Lexington in London. And before that, I'd had a few of the records. They started out as almost like an anarcho-punk 4 or 5-piece band. They're from Sao Paulo in Brazil. And they made sort of like dark death punk, death rock. But over the course of the last few records, it's turned into something different. They've got a lot more psychedelic and trancey, and they're a three-piece now, and they use lots of delay on the vocals. They've got amazing bass lines, very, very tribal and trance-like rhythms, and so much echo on the vocal that it sounds like incantations.
Amazing.
When I went to see them, so I went to see them at Lexington, and it was bowel-crushingly loud, and there was these echoes flying off, and it was just so visceral. And everyone was just completely hypnotized by them. And, you know, afterwards I went back and I got all the records that I'd missed since the early punk ones. And there's just something about them that, like, just puts you in a spell. And really, really fantastic band.
Sonhei que o mundo parecia estar prestes a acabar. Uma voz orientava, segura no portão verde. Se joga agora pro azul. Parecia Twister, mas era o mundo acabando. Sonhei algo parecido ao ontem. O mundo entrando em colapso. Planetas girando a milhão. Era lindo e dava medo. Via o mundo acabar da janela. We'll be right back.
How do you, Andy, because I know you're plugged into, you know, current music and subgenres and underground scenes, like, how do you keep up to date and in touch with everything that's going on? Do you subscribe to magazines? Is it online? Like, I know you're across the board all the time with everything that's going on, and obviously, you know, I think that you've always been that way. So how do you keep plugged in? What's your sources of information?
I think it's important too. I don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, I don't know if you saw that thing recently. It was, they mentioned it on the BBC that people, they did a survey and they reckoned that in this country, people stop listening to music at 34 years of age. So they don't stop listening to music. Their taste finishes and calcifies at 34. So
yeah, and then they stop searching new stuff.
Yeah, so all they do is listen to stuff they have in the library.
Yeah,
and I know that you and I know friends of mine. We'll always keep listening to new music, and I think I've said stuff. So a band like Ragta, for example, you know, I read a review of them in Maximum Rock and Roll, and the references that I saw, Susie and the Banshees, Ex-Mall, Deutschland, they were bands I liked when I was a kid, so I checked them out online. I went to All Ages Records in Camden whenever I was done visiting mates and bought a couple of their 7-inches, and that's how I discovered them. And then whenever, I'm a big fan of a band called Deaf Kids that are also from Brazil. And they were playing the Lexington, and it was Ragta that was opening for them. So I thought, right, I'm going to go down early and make sure I catch them. And if I hadn't gone down earlier, I wouldn't have seen what they now sound like and gone back and bought all the older records.
Well, you touched on it there. That's the key, I think, isn't it? Is the real music fans in the room will be there from doors to catch the opening act, the support band, and the headliner, and see the full show, because that's often where you get switched on to some of the best new stuff, isn't it? Is at shows.
Yeah, I know. I've made mistakes in the past. I remember years ago talking to Chris McCormack whenever I just heard Turbo Negro.
Good old Chris.
And I said to him, Chris, look, you know, you got to hear this band, Turbo Negro. And he looked at me and shook his head and says, you've seen them? He said, I took you to see them. He said, years ago there was a band called Grass Show were playing in Islington. And I rang you up when you were living in London. And you said, oh, let's go and see them. And me and you got so plastered in the pub before the gig. We sat through this opening band. The opening band was Turbo Negro. So you've seen them live, you just can't remember.
Amazing. Good old Camden nights out, right?
Yeah.
Do you miss living in London, or are you at the right stage in life now where being out of it is, you know, it suits your lifestyle and where you're at?
No, I miss it. I always talk about this, you know, the time I do. Like, I think, you know, ideally, it would be nice to have somewhere that I could go all the time. You know, I like, for the sense of what I do, you know, I'm so busy with the band, and in a normal year we tour a lot. It's good to come back to Cambridge because I love it here. It's the favourite place I've ever lived. But at the same time, you know, going to football, going to see friends, it's always really, really handy to be in and around London. But then again, something like this, it must be a nightmare for certain people. I've seen all the footage of people on the tube and people, you know, that have to go to work, whatever the cost. I mean, my heart goes out to them. It must be awful.
Yeah, there's a strange vibe in the city at the moment. I went walking around yesterday and with my camera just to take some photos because I figured I'm not going to be taking any photos at gigs for a while. And I bought a camera just before Christmas because I wanted to start getting into photography this year. And I figured, well, if there's going to be no shows, I've got to think of other things to, you know, shoot and document. And I thought, well, right now, obviously, we're in a very unique point in history where one of the busiest cities in the world in a lot of places is going to be absolutely deserted. So I went down to like Carnaby Street and Piccadilly Circus and all around there, and it was like a ghost town, mate. It was so eerie.
Oh,
and this,
really? Wow.
And this is in the middle of the day at like 2 p.m., you know, lunchtime.
No, really? Well, I can't imagine that. Well, it must have been so surreal.
I'll send you a few photos. You know Argyle Street, that little street that you come out of Oxford?
Yeah,
yeah. So I took this picture of just this phone box down there with the Palladium behind it, and the entire street,
oh, wow,
there's not a body in sight.
Yeah.
Absolutely mad.
Bands are going to get great artwork out of this virus.
I know, right? And hopefully good music. So what are you doing? How are you spending your days?
Well, we've got, we started work on our art. This year was meant to be our 30th anniversary, so the whole live show situation was geared around that. And before the virus hit big time, we were actually in the middle of writing and rehearsing for album number 16. So we'd written a bunch of songs up in the East Midlands. We've got a few rehearsal places, one in London and one in the East Midlands, that we tend to frequent. And we were up in the East Midlands with Neil for a couple of times writing new material. And what I've done since then, you know, is we know that we're planning to go into the studio before the end of the year. You know, at the minute, as I said, it looks like we'll go on tour from late August to December. But if we get a chance, we will go in at the end of the year and record these songs. So at the minute, I'm just kind of listening back to what we've done, making sure the guitar parts are good enough, you know, double-checking what lyrics I've written, and trying to come up with new material as well.
And are you feeling inspired at the moment in these crazy times?
I did, and then I ran out of steam. I mean, when the lockdown was first announced, I would get up, go in the morning, play guitar, warm up, play the music loud, write lyrics. But I think actually staring at the four concrete walls of my rehearsal space, you know, I've gone for a run every morning to try and sort of keep my health up as well, because I don't want to just sit and get out of shape. But I think at some point I might have to resort to movies, or a bit like your good self, go out with an iPhone and to take some photographs or some videos.
Yeah, for me right now, it's all about keeping the mind occupied, because as you say, you then otherwise wake up and go, oh my God, this is a bleak reality. Distraction is a wonderful tool. Your third song on the list, Pet Brick, Radiation Facial. As far as song titles go, they don't come much better than that. Tell us about these guys and this track, Andy.
Well, I thought this, I really like this because, you know, it's got Igor Cavalera in it.
Amazing.
And he makes music with a guy called Wayne Adams, who used to be in a few bands called Big Lad and stuff. And he's got like a, you know, they own a studio. And this is kind of, this is their second album. It's called I think, or it might be One, whatever way I'm reading it. But it's great. There's some amazing songs on it. But Radiation Facial, I thought was like really, really apt for these kind of anxiety-ridden times. It's also got Dylan Walker from Full of Hell on the track. And he does a great job on the vocals. And that was one of the first things. I've got a ticket to see Full of Hell, and opening for them are going to be iFlies, who's a band that I absolutely love. And that was at the Scala in April, and then that got cancelled, obviously. So, you know, but this, I was lucky enough that the last time I went to see Deaf Kids, one of the times I went to see Deaf Kids recently, they got Igor Cavalera from Pet Brick and Sepultura up to jam with them. And he was playing the percussion along with the rest of the band, and they've got that Brazilian groove thing going on. So they did a track, and in the middle of it, they just went into this spiral of just kind of drums and percussion, which is really, really spellbinding.
I mean, what's your thoughts on everything that's going on? As much as we do know or allowed to know, What do you make of all this, mate?
Well, I'm in contact with the lads in the band who are my friends and everyone. The reason, I think the thing that I'm trying to look at it through an eye of absurdity.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few things that are making me laugh. You know, there's I think all people's daft behaviour never ceases. I mean, it is terrifying, but it never ceases to amaze me. People saying that they're going to go to the beach no matter what, and people having barbecues, and people coughing in elderly people's faces and in police officers' faces, medical staff having their tires slashed, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, on the upside of it, there's our little village is tiny, and there's a woman that would be in her early 80s here. And as soon as the lockdown and the 2 meter rule was announced, she's kind of made it. She's become the Captain Mannering of our village. She's out every morning, making sure that there's no meetings of more than two people, and that if any joggers on the road pass each other, they're required 2 meters apart. So that's quite funny, you know. I was sent to our band manager yesterday, and kind of just and expecting to come out one day and find that she's attached loudspeakers to the telegraph poles and it's blasting Vera Lynn at top volume.
My dad always used to say this when I was growing up, but he'd always say to me, there's nowt queerer than folk. And I think in times like this, it really brings out the worst and, as you say, the crazy in people, doesn't it? Like, you know, the fact that people bought up all the hand sanitizing gel and they're now on eBay for like £500 a little miniature bottle. And it's like, well, have you not just heard of soap and water and like things like this? And you're just like, how crazy are people? But, you know, I think situations like this prove just how weird and wonderful the human race is. You do have to keep a kind of a comic eye as well, don't you? Otherwise, you'll just go mad.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that the three of us in the band, we're of the belief, we fundamentally believe that most people are good.
Yeah.
You know, it only takes a couple of knobheads to ruin it for everybody else. But we do believe that genuinely most people in the world are good and want the best for people. And I think that's something as well that we cling on to as well in these times.
How can you see this panning out? Again, we're no experts, but just as, you know, a regular guy at home looking at his livelihood and, you know, what's going to happen in the coming weeks, what do you see happening?
Well, since the lockdown on Monday, I've gone for a run every morning, and I run down the A10 and I run down little roads. And I've seen that from the first day there was a handful of cars, second day a few more, and today it was almost verging on normal traffic. And I think what will happen is in a fortnight, people will just go, we'll sod this, I've had enough. And we'll start seeing people just throwing caution to the wind. And then I think that's when it'll really hit, and there'll be another lockdown. So I think, you know, because of people's carelessness and thoughtlessness, we'll probably have to go back to square one in about 3 weeks' time. After that, I think if as long as people behave themselves a week, fortunately, they'll get over it. I don't see it as an apocalyptic thing at the minute. Fingers crossed, touch wood.
Yeah.
But I do think if people are sensible, it should even itself. And I also think what I hope it does do is wake people up to what a wonderful thing we have in this world, what a wonderful place we live in, and what a wonderful gift we have with life. And they might hopefully treat it with a bit more respect.
Yeah, stop taking it for granted and stop, you know, being greedy, I guess.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, the economic implications are staggeringly worrying. I think, you know, the businesses and the venues and companies, and I think so many people have already been hit and so many more are going to be hit by it. But I think, like with all situations like this, that there's a way through, and I guess you just have to sort of knuckle down, don't you?
Yeah.
Buckle up for the ride.
You have to. It is to use that cliche that's been around, it is a new reality we're facing. And economically, it is going to hit a lot of people. But I think that's what I'm hoping for, that people actually begin to help each other out a lot more. I think coming on the back of Brexit, you know, someone that comes from Northern Ireland that we touched on earlier, I grew up in a country that was divided, and I saw the absolute devastation that can have on people.
Yeah.
And whenever I was living over here when Brexit started, and I just saw the same thing, people getting twisted up, and the amount of hatred and bile and the amount of division it caused in the country. So I'm kind of hoping that this is a salve, a little bit of a balm after Brexit, when people get over the coronavirus, that they've maybe learned a lesson.
Let's break for your second to last song, Deaf Kids. You've been talking about them a bit. Templo, is it De Chaos or Chaos?
Temple of Chaos. It's Temple of Chaos.
Love it. I mean, again, that's kind of what we're in right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who are these guys? What was your introduction to them?
They are are. They started out, I heard them years ago on a website in America. They started out more as like a kind of anarcho UK punk band influence, very, very noisy, fast, hardcore. And they sort of developed into this very psychedelic maelstrom of repeated vocals, riffs. It sounds like it's very, very visceral and psychedelic and very hypnotic. What they do is they tend to take one or they, their lyrics are like discharges lyrics. They're little haiku poems. They're one or two lines, but they've got lots of echo on them. And again, you've really got to see them live. You know, it's, the records are brilliant, but whenever you see them live, you just, it's one of those bands that you actually get lost in. I've seen them live a few times. The first time I saw them live, people didn't really know that much about them. And after 5 minutes, it's one of those bands, you know those bands when you see them and every single person in the room is swaying backwards and forward and nodding their head, even the bar staff. It was one of those events where they just sucked everyone into this kind of maelstrom. It was amazing.
Is that a big part of what you do in therapy? Is that hypnotic kind of vibe that, as you say, almost takes people to another plane with the music?
We used to use, I mean, especially therapy's earlier days, well, whenever we were, as well as hardcore, we were influenced by acid house, new beat, early hip-hop, and what we used to love was, I think that's why therapy's always had amazing drummers, because it's really, really important to us that we have people that are slightly outside the, you know, four to the four beats.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing better than if we play a track, you know, there's certain things, a lot of our songs are very short, but, you know, so if it's so loud and you just see people lose themselves, and that's why I actually often, people asked me a while ago why we went on tour with the Stranglers, you know, because we were a support band. And I said, well, a couple of reasons. One was, you know, they were, when I was a kid, they were one of my favourite bands on the planet. But the second thing is, you know, we had this thing, and we always quote this.
The bass lines, baby.
It's winning people over. The first time we saw the Stranglers, there was one guy in particular at the front doing the thumbs down at the front and booing between every song. And I kid you not, after 2 weeks on the road with them, we got out at our last gig at Manchester Apollo, and the same guy was standing outside our van with a pen and a copy of Trouble Gum, and he wanted it signed.
Amazing. That's brilliant.
I mean, that's amazing. When you just look out into the crowd, especially if you see people that don't know the band, the best thing is when you're there with your fans and the people that have bought tickets for you, the sense of community is amazing, and nothing can beat it. But then also, if you support people whose fans know nothing about you, that's a real adventure as well.
Well, let's break for the track. I want to come back and talk to you some more about that. This is Deaf Kids on Soundtrack Apocalypse. Here we go. So over the years, Andy, what have been the most challenging and enjoyable support slots therapy have done, where you've had to do exactly that, win, fight to win over the crowds because they're unfamiliar with you and you're perhaps a little bit out of sync with the band that you're opening up for? Do any stand out?
Well, there's a great photograph from us in our early days whenever we were a hardcore band, and it was the Limelight in Belfast, and Michael has got this great black and white picture which his brother took, and we were opening for a band called Ride.
Yeah, I know Ride, yeah.
Great band.
Great band.
Us and them are chopping cheese, and somebody knew us and said, we'll get therapy open for Ride. So we'd only put out our first single at this point. We hadn't even brought out our first album. And there's just a great picture of loads of people looking kind of confused in Stone Roses and Spiral Carpets, Ned's Atomic Dustbin, Ride, Carter the Unstoppable with T-shirts. And Michael's jumping in the air, and I'm on the floor manipulating all my effects pedals. And there's just one guy standing, and he looks like, you know, he's got the bald head haircut and the big jeans and the baggy top, and he's just standing po-faced giving me the fingers. And that kind of sums that up. And then, you know, the last time we did anything that was strange, for some reason, about 2 years ago, somebody booked us on a gig with it was a Danish festival that we had never heard of, and we got there and we thought, we looked at the bill, and the bill was, you know, very much folk rock and blues and world music.
Right.
And we were the only, not even just the only heavy-ish rock, we were the only rock band on the lineup. And we went on stage, it was an outdoor festival, and within 30 seconds there was a huge, we call it a crescent of emptiness at the front of the stage. Everyone had just backed up. And it was like, I mean, the crowd was kind of like my age and upwards, so they were kind of, there's just a whole sense of, whoa, what the hell is this?
A crescent of emptiness, I love that. It's funny, isn't it? Like, sometimes people just get it so wrong when booking these shows. I think sometimes, like the Ride thing, for instance, maybe it wouldn't make sense on paper, but there's a link and a lineage there. But sometimes, as you say, you end up on these bills, bands end up on these bills, and you think, well, how the hell did we end up here? What's going on?
Yeah, I remember years ago.
Who's in charge here?
Yeah, I remember years ago, whenever the Jam were signed to Polydor, you know, but I think it was 1978 or 79, they did an American tour opening for Blue Oyster Cult. And I just think Blue Oyster Cult were a psychedelic biker rock band, and they've got these three mods from London opening for them. That must have been so insane.
Andy, thanks so much for taking the time to do this, dude. It's been a pleasure, as it always is, talking to your good self. I hope that these shows go ahead, the rescheduled ones go ahead as planned. It's going to be a weird summer, isn't it? Did you have many festival bookings in the diary, or were you fairly open on the summer anyway?
We've got more festivals booked this year than we have in the last 5 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, so far only two of them have been cancelled, and they were in early June.
Yeah.
And we're kind of hoping that the rest of them are... I mean, thankfully, the rest of them were in August, late July, August, and a couple run into early September, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's uncertain, isn't it? The thing for me, because I'm self-employed, the fact that they've said they're going to start helping self-employed people from the 1st of June, for me, kind of implies that most of summer might well be a lockdown too, because otherwise, why would they be introducing it then, at which point a lot of people might be able to be back at work anyway? Do you know what I mean?
That's such a good point, Matt, yeah.
Unless they're just doing it so you can backdate it from March, April, May and help people out that had those 3 months of no incomes. But I just thought, well, if it's coming in June, then what does that imply for June, July, August for, you know, people that work in our worlds? Has it, on like an economic level, I know therapy is quite a, you know, cottage industry DIY operation anyway. You don't have a lot of, you know, cogs and it's not this big business operation, but has it hit you guys hard having to push these shows back and losing these festivals? And
well, we've got the thing with therapy. We've got a record company and we've got a deal, so that helps. That's all the recording costs and producer and studio costs. That's all covered.
You're with Marshall, right?
Yeah, we're Marshall Records.
Yeah.
And they've been really good to us. But the thing about us is obviously the last gig that we actually played was last October. And we've had 14, 15 gigs cancelled that we were meant to be in the middle of the tour at the minute.
Yeah.
And the merch sales from that. Now, the only thing is we are quite sensitive. We always have been. It's our hardcore upbringing, so we don't do the whole two tour buses catering, limos, five-star hotels. And that's amazing how much money as a band you save when you don't live that lifestyle. But there will come a time over the summer when we're really, really going to have to be careful. You know, if as we've just touched on there, this continues on all over the summer, it will soon get to the point where it could even be a year when we haven't had any. Well, we know we sell CDs and stuff like that, but you know, that doesn't go to us directly. So
yeah,
we have to be really, really careful at the minute.
Are you thinking about any other avenues as of yet for, you know, ways in which you can engage with the audience and perhaps generate a little bit of income of those conversations that are starting to happen yet or not?
Yeah, all the band this week and the record company and our management have all been involved in this. We're talking about what ways to make it work. You know, unfortunately, there's been some requests from our fans about a, you know, web gig, but, you know, Michael lives in Larne in Northern Ireland. Neil lives in the East Midlands and I live in the southeast of the country, so it's impossible in the current situation to get together. So we're going to try and do little things like, you know, put up videos and keep in contact through social media, you know, and hopefully that's the best we can do. Michael, bless him, Michael McKeegan, the bass player of Therapy, he's the archivist of the band and he's managed to take out a lot of live footage.
Nice. So well, Metallica are doing that every Monday. They're doing Metallica Mondays where they put up an entire gig every Monday. So maybe you could do Therapy Thursday or Therapy Tuesday.
Cheers, tip off, Matt. Great idea. Thank you.
No worries. Well, another one that you could look at doing, perhaps, if you get that app Zoom, which is like a video conference call thing, you can get all three of you on that. You can record them, so you just record it straight onto the computer. And obviously, as it's 30 years of the band, maybe you could do a video a week where you talk about, you know, every record chronologically and just all reminisce on the writing and the recording. And then you could maybe do like a PayPal thing where people, you know, can, the videos are free, but people can chip in and donate a bit, you know, at their discretion.
Yeah, I mean, it's that. And also another thing we've got to think about as well, I think it's, you know, for us, we've been careful, but I suppose not a lot of our worries is our friends and crew members and stuff. You know, a lot of the crew members of the band, they're relying on not just Therapy, but they maybe have, say, two or three bands they work with.
Yeah.
And they've got mortgages and things like that as well. So it's, but that's a great idea. Thanks. Is it called Zoom?
Yeah, Zoom. Zoom. Yeah, have a look into that. But as I said, if you've got, you know, you've got so many records to talk about, so you could just do one a week and that would be 3 months worth of, I hate the word, but quote unquote content then. And you could even do each one as a little crowdfunder for the band and crew. I know Frank did that.
Too, yeah.
I know Frank did that the other night. He did a live gig on Facebook and I mean, his fans are amazing, but he managed to raise, I think it was about 44 grand online. And he's managed to take care of all of his crew for all of the summer. So yeah, man, there's avenues, like wherever there's an idea, there's a way. And I think, you know, you've obviously been a band for so long, people who are into Therapy are behind the band. So I think you've definitely got the fan base there that would step up to the plate in situations like this when needed. So yeah, man. And speaking of Frank, your final song is by him. I'm guessing this is a return of the favor because he picked one by you the other day, but obviously I know you guys are tight and there's mutual respect there anyway. How did you first meet Frank? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was backstage at Nottingham Rock City whenever he was playing with Million Dead. There was a mini festival on in Rock City and Million Dead were just about to break and they were headlining the second room at Rock City and we were headlining the main room. And Frank came back and knocked on the door and came in and said, I just want to say hello and, you know, I love the band. And he stayed in the dressing room and then after both bands played, he was hanging out with us. And then after that, a few times when I was in London, I bumped into him and he was always really good company. And I think the reason why I'd chosen the track was, apart from the fact that we know the fan, we're very, you know, we love his music, I think I wanted to end the choice of the five songs with something with a bit of hope and a bit of positivity. And I think, I must say, of all the musicians that I know, the two people that I think are the most positive are Michael McKeegan, the Therapy bass player, and Frank Turner. There's something about no matter what, whatever the world throws at them, they have a can-do attitude. It's like, no, they don't crawl into a corner and just hope that the sky stops falling. They actually get up off their ass and try and do something about it. And so I thought having a, you know, and that also Tape Deck has probably my favourite album by Frank, and this is the opening track, and it's, you know, it's, I think, as we talked about earlier, when the summer goes, we will be on a long road back to recovery. And I think Frank's the man to soundtrack that.
I love it, mate. Well, Tape Deck Heart, my favourite album by him too. And this song, as you say, is so life-affirming and exactly the kind of music we need in these uncertain times. So let's play out with this. Nice one, Andy. Great catch-up, my friend.
Thanks, man. Hopefully hopefully I'll see you sooner rather than later, fella.
Blacking in and out in a strange flat in East London. Somebody I don't really know just gave me something to help settle me down and to stop me from always thinking about you. And you know your life is heading in a questionable direction when you're up for days of strangers and you can't remember anything except the way you sounded when you told me you didn't know what I should do. It's a long road up to recover. Like every other day, and just like every boring blues song, I get swallowed by the pain. And so I fumble for your figure in the darkness just to make it go away. But you're not lying there any longer, and I know that that's my fault. So I've been pounding on the floor, and I've been crawling up the walls, and I've been dipping in my darkness with serotonin boosters, cider and some kind of smelling salts. It's a long road up to recover. Well, darling, let's make a deal. If anybody ever asks us, let's just tell them that we met in jail. And that's a story that I'm sticking to like a stony-faced accomplice. But tonight I need to hear some truth if I'm ever getting through this. Yeah, you once sent me a letter that said if you're lost at sea, close your eyes and catch the time, my dear, and only think of me. Well, darling, now I'm sinking and I'm as lost and lost could be. And I was hoping you could drag me up and down here towards my recovery. Sign you, just a subtle little glimmer, some suggestion that you'd have me. If I could only make me better, then I would stand a little stronger as I walk a little taller all the time. Because I know you are a cynic, but I think I can convince you. Yeah, cause broken people can get better if they really want to, or at least that's what I have to tell myself if I am hoping to survive. It's a long road up to recover. This will all be over.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.